hometown. Thurman, last week we spoke about long lies, and I want to talk long lies too. This concept of that there are some lies that are persistent, and they over a period of time, and the simple truth that they come to us again and again and again, just the sheer repetitive nature of the fact is after a while, even what is patently stupid becomes believable if it's just repeated enough. Ask any politician, right? Like politics runs on this principle. If you just stated long enough, people will start to believe it because it's the way life works and it's the way logic is. So there are some long lies, and we're looking at this reality that although if you've come to know Jesus Christ, a profound alteration has occurred already in your life. You have become brand new. Everything about your life has changed. You died, you are new, you were raised up. God has indwelt you by the Spirit. He has given you the mind of Christ. He's written his law in your heart and mind. Everything has become new. And that's exactly what 2 Corinthians 5 says. Behold, everything, I promise you, everything is brand new. But many of us in our minds still feel like it's old. And so the shackles of our mind hinder the truth of our lives. And so one of the realities the Bible speaks to is that some of the most catapulting truth is when you get renewed in your mind. It's not that suddenly God became kinder towards you. He was always that way, but the shackles of your mind are broken and you walk in an inheritance that's almost immediate. And that's why the scripture talks about the transformation by the renewing of the mind. So let me read Romans 12, 1. You know the scripture. I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. So there are two statements. Do not do this, do this. Do not conform, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And so something should jump up in your spirit. It certainly does in mine. I'm into transformation. Especially in the areas of my life that don't seem to line up with what the gospel preaches. Especially in those areas of my life where I'm experiencing the lack and the brokenness and or something, and I go, I'm interested in transformation. I'm not interested in a 40-year process. I want the, okay, Lord, let's step into it now. And I'm okay to develop muscle in that area. I'm okay to grow in faith and in knowledge and in grace. I'm okay with that because that's what the Bible teaches. That's going to happen to us. I'm okay with a short process. I'm okay with learning things. But what I'm not okay with is that the bride of Christ lives in a diminished inheritance when we could be living and feasting. The Bible calls us, in case you're wondering, that you and I should reign in life by one Christ Jesus. That those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness should reign in life. Not barely get by, not be broken and scraped through, hang in till heaven. No, reign in life. Amen. Now, I know that I've discovered an area that needs renewing of the mind when I'm in an environment where I'm either reading scripture or there's a clear prophetic word from the Lord, and that scripture or that word creates in me an internal chorus of dissent. The Lord says, I'm going to do this, and instead of a yes, woo, party on, there's something in my heart, go, oh, that could never be. I seriously doubt that. But I know it's the Lord. I'm reading scripture. I go, okay, it doesn't feel right. For instance, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for you so that in him you could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When I read that, and I go, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And everything inside of me starts to dissent. I know I need to renew my mind in this area. So we looked at that. We assumed that there's going to be a growth in faith and in knowledge and in salvation and in grace. And I want to get there. So although Scripture speaks about the many realities as having already happened for me, okay? They're in the past tense in the Scriptures. It's not saying you will be cleansed, you will be sanctified, you will be accepted, you will be seated with Christ in heavenly places. It says you were washed, you were redeemed, you were made holy. Are you tracking with me? So we have to just get this clear in our heads. I know that you know this, but it's no trouble, no trouble for me to say the same things to you again, because it's a safeguard for you. Because we become very forgetful about these truths. So it's no trouble. So let me just tell you what the Bible says has happened. Are you with me? He gave us grace previous. He chose us. It's already happened. He's already chosen you. He gave you understanding and light so that you could understand who Jesus was. He gave you revelation. Jesus said, that wasn't given to you by man. That was my Father, Peter, that gave you that. So that you know, this is you're the Christ. You were crucified with Christ. You died with Christ. You were buried with Christ. Your old self was circumcised from you. Oh, catch me if you can. We were made alive. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. You were raised and seated with Christ. You were crucified with Christ. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. You were blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. You were given fullness in Christ, and you were called to glory. That make sense? It happened to you already. What happens though is, if I do not renew my mind to that beauty, I live in a diminished inheritance that is not because it's true, but because there is a bondage in my mind. I have a shackle in my mind that holds me back to an old way of life, an old way of thinking, my former way of life. I'm shackled to it in my mind, but not in truth. We spoke about elephants when they train them in India, that when they're young elephants, they tie a rope around their leg, and we have some photographs, where they tie a rope around the elephant's leg and they tie it to a tree, or they put a stake in the ground that's massive. And that elephant strains against that for the first week or two and rubs its leg raw. And that elephant tries to pull that tree down and realizes it cannot, and it fights all night. And after about a week or two weeks, when that elephant realizes, when they put that rope on, that elephant just stands still because it gets, okay, I can't move from here. And so as the elephant grows up, all they do is when the elephant's fully grown and the time comes for them to finish work at night, wherever they happen to be, they throw a little string around the elephant's and they put a little stake and they put it in the ground, and the elephant feels that thing and says, okay, I can't go any further. But that elephant, if it just, you know, if it got scared or something, if there was a fire, it would just run away and that stake would not even, it wouldn't even feel the resistance. That for me is what many Christians look like. The truth is you've been delivered. But in your mind, if you believe and you feel that little string, and so I see many Christians, all the enemy comes to do is he throws a little thing around you, around your leg, and goes, you know what? You know what? You're still a slave to pornography and you'll never get free. Oh, okay. You're still a slave to that poor self-image, that brokenness of spirit, that bitterness and envy, that wounding, whatever it is, you're still a slave. You weren't actually made free. And that little rope, enemy just throws a little rope around, gets you to believe it, puts a little stake in the ground, and you're stuck in a diminished inheritance when you could be running around free indeed, gloriously delivered. I'm really preaching for the people who are going to hear this on tape. It's, of course, none of you in this room. When we looked last week, therefore, at the lies of the long battle. When you're in a long battle, what the enemy loves to do is while you're struggling through a long battle, a protracted period of trusting God or hoping for things, and you don't see the answers, it becomes a seedbed for the enemy to come and throw some lies into the seedbed and say, okay, this is the truth about who you are. And so we warned of the lies of the long battle last week, and I'm not going to get into it today. But if you're interested, please go and it's up on the web, and you can catch up with us there. But today, I want to talk a little bit about the lies of the long selected memory. The long selective memory. Hear this: it is in the nature of the enemy
to want to capture you in the worst and weakest moments of your life and to suspend you in that view of yourself and to constantly remind you, this is who you are. That's why he's called the accuser of the brethren. It is in the nature of the enemy to capture you in your worst moments, to suspend you in that memory and say, this is who you are. It is his nature. It is in the nature of God to capture you in the victory won by Jesus in his death, resurrection, burial and resurrection, and to suspend you in that view of yourself and to constantly remind you, this is who you are. That is why he is called the Comforter. Which suspension do you want to live in? He goes, you're the righteousness of God in Christ. They go, no, you don't understand. And they jump back to this definition of themselves. I'm a sinner. I'm a broken person. I'm a whatever. You go, but you've accepted Jesus, right? You've become born again. Yeah. Well, that's no longer you. You're over here in the Jesus died and was buried and you were raised with him and you're seated with him in heavenly places and there is victory for you and you can walk in that. And they go, yeah, no, I'm this person. People live in a suspended reality. Depends which one you choose. I promise you, if you live in this reality, it will be death to you. Condemnation, brokenness, defeat. If you live in this reality, life and victory and strength and beauty and freedom and joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. We cannot allow a selective long memory to define who we are. Okay, no. Remember, see the enemy does this all the time, and I guarantee you does it to you, he does it to me. I'm just happy driving down the road. He goes, remember when you were 14, you did this. Go, be quiet. That person died. Why are you picking on dead people? I got a fair list of shameful things that happened to that old me. And the enemy loves to go, hey, he tries it every now and again just to swing it by me. Hey, this is who you are. Remember you did that? Remember? Yep. But that was before I died and was resurrected and was washed and redeemed and filled and blessed. And yeah, that was the old me. Not interested in that discussion. Let me tell you who I am now. I am the beloved child of an eternal God. I am blood bought. I am sanctified. I've been set up as the apple of his eye. His hand is on me. He's called me. I walk in a divine destiny. My Father's love can never be removed from me. Do you want to carry on? We can talk. I'd love to talk. But I'm not going to talk on that reality. Let me tell you about this reality. Let me tell you who I am. And friends, it's going to take a little bit of that from you. You have to say, I have to choose one, and I'm choosing this one. And because I'm choosing this one, the transformation happens when the renewal of my mind comes because I break free, literally, from all this rubbish. We have been redeemed, the Bible says, from our empty way of life. We read that during communion. We have been removed from the brokenness that used to hold us. We have been washed from the sin which is so prevalent in that old life. And what we choose to remember is vital to our transformation. The lie of the long selective memory. Let me take you some scriptures. Isaiah 43. Forget the former things. It's interesting. God's trying to bring the nation and he's starting to talk to them about their deliverance. And he has to start with this. Listen, guys. Okay, hey. Forget what happened in the past. Because I'm about to do a new thing, but if you're dwelling on the past, the new thing you're going to miss. So stop thinking about the past. Think about the new thing that I'm doing. Listen. Think about this. Philippians 3. Not that I've already obtained all of this or already arrived at my goal, but I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. The motto of Italian racing is rip that rearview mirror out. What's behind me doesn't count. It's only what's in front of me that's catch me if you can. 2 Peter 1. It's talking about apply yourself to living well. It says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed of their past sins. One of the lies that the enemy loves to do is he loves to take you to a selective long memory. Okay, remember when you were 12 or when you were 16 or when you were at college? Remember when you did that thing? The enemy wants to just, the enemy would love for you to give him control of your memory banks, and then he can choose which memories, the long memory. Okay, remember that. But then when it comes to your salvation, God, no, there's no forgiveness of sin. No, don't look here. There's some people sitting in this meeting, the Holy Spirit's already dealing with this in you. He's already breaking you free from this nonsense because you've already seen the lie. Praise God. I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. There's two things the Lord instituted. Baptism as institutions for the church. Baptism and water. What's that to? It's to make a statement. You died. It's so that you remember this profound fact. You're dead. Your old life has been circumcised off you. It has no power over you. You've been circumcised to the world. The world has been circumcised to you. There is no connection between you and your old life. That's why you have to go through a water baptism. And then he said, whenever you come together and you share this meal, I want you to remember the profound beauty of what happened on the cross. Jesus said, remember. The enemy goes, nah, forget that you're forgiven of your past sins. Because if you forget you've been forgiven of your past sins, you're back under works and you're back into trying to earn it. You're back under the treadmill of trying to get something that God's already given you. There are so many ways I could show you this in Scripture. I'm going to just put up a few in the New Testament. Don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. Remember this, remember this, remember that. Always remember this. Just a bunch of them. You can catch me if you can. All right. Next page. So, do you understand the concept of the danger of the long selective memory? Because this is a mechanism. The enemy wants to get you to remember some things and forget some things. And God's trying to get you to remember some things and forget some things. God remembers some stuff about you and he forgets some stuff about you. That's what the Bible says. You know what God remembers? He says, I will not forget every cup of water given in my name, every time you took a step. He said, I remember your works. I remember your works prompted by faith, your labor prompted by love. God remembers every one of those. You know what he forgets? Your sins and your wickedness and your lawless deeds, I'll remember no more. It's like a beautiful Polaroid. Everything harmful is he forgets. Everything beautiful, he goes, wow, look at you. So if we're not careful in the lie of the long selective memory, what the enemy does is he lies to you about your nature. Vast portions of the church are captured in this lie. The lie about your nature. And it goes something like this. You aren't redeemed. It didn't work for you. There's still a lot for you to do. You're on the right road, but you haven't made it yet. You can't know that you're saved. You don't know that you have eternal life. You're almost there. You need to work harder. Or how about this one? You're still in bondage. You're still in bondage for as long as you believe you're in bondage. Well, that's just me. That's just the thing. I've tried. I can't get free. Well, then, no, you're the righteousness of God in Christ. Stop trying and believe. And when you believe, then you'll see. This weakness is who you really are. People don't change You're a sinner. You're a fraud and a hypocrite. I should say this in a weird voice, but it probably sounds like this in your head, right? How can you call yourself a Christian and be having these thoughts or be doing these things? You will never be good enough. Or how about this one? You'll never be as good as all these spiritual people sitting around you. Because the rest of us are deeply spiritual, but you are deeply flawed. Logically, that could only be true of one person. How come the enemy uses it on all of us? The same lie. But the truth is, because the lie of the long selective memory is this lie about your nature. You haven't been altered. You haven't been changed. You haven't been. You're still that old person. That's the fundamental lie. And friends, there's a transformation available for you and for me in the transformation of our minds on this issue. So one of the things I have to get in my spirit is that I have been redeemed. You have been redeemed. You have been redeemed. You were redeemed from the empty way of life that was handed down to you. That's what Peter says. I and you have been set free from our old life. You go, yeah, but you don't understand some of the things in my old life, they're still in my new life. Well, it's only because there's a rope attached. If you cut the rope, then your old will be old and the new will be brand new. I have been washed. I have been made holy. I like that one. See, sanctified means made holy. That's what the scripture says. You were sanctified. You were. We go, no, I'm still going to be sanctified. No, you were made holy. That's why the Bible says, in love he predestined us to be holy and blameless in his sight. That's not in the coming ages, that's right now. Your life and my life is now hidden with Christ in God. You are, and I am, a brand new creation. All things in my life and all things in your life have become new. Sin does not have dominion over us. I haven't changed anything. I'm just quoting the scriptures, just putting them in a form so we can confess that. That's all I'm doing, right? I mean, the scriptures are right there. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I qualify for my inheritance because God qualified me. Tired of hearing sermons where people are disqualifying those whom God has qualified. That'll settle with some people. And next time you sit through a sermon and the preacher's done and disqualify the people of God from what he's already qualified them to share in. I know. Don't you dare believe that God's going to be kind to you. You haven't tithed this week. Dare to believe God will be kind to you. So I'm going to invite you to stand with me. And I would like to just give you an opportunity to shout out some truth a little, whether it's to the spiritual realm, whether it's before the throne of God, or whether you just want to clear the cobwebs of your own mind and say, this is who I am. And so I'm going to invite you to stand up. We're just going to read through it once. But if you put your faith, if you trust God, I'm telling you, there's a revolution about to break in some people's minds. And so we're just going to read these out aloud together. You ready? I have been redeemed. I have been set free from my old life. I have been washed, made holy, and justified. My life is hidden with Christ in God. I am a brand new creation. All things in my life have become new. Sin does not have dominion over me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I qualify for my inheritance because God qualified me. Amen. Have a seat. Thank you. Woo. Amen, Lord. So the long selective memory has just two lies attached. One is the lie of your nature. The second one is the lie of the power of the pit. I love this one because it says, I mean, you're going to try hard, but you need to know how dangerous the enemy is and how powerful sin is and how you'll never actually break free. These bugs on the front of your car, impervious to anything. No, they're not. But if you believe they are, then you'll walk around with bugs on your front grill for the rest of your life. Oh, you don't understand. No, I understand. I understand. None of us is exempt from the previous pull, the power, the slavery, the bondage to sin. All of us get it. But since you became new, since your life was radically altered, that's all changed. But here's kind of how this lie goes, the lie of the power of the pit. It says, you'll never get out of here. You'll always be this person. You'll never escape your past or your family or your weaknesses or your friendship circle or your relationships or your bondages. You're stuck here. Your enemy is too powerful for you. You are in too deep. If you just hadn't been that deep into sin, if you'd have just been a little bit towards the shallow end, you could have probably pulled out. But you're in too deep. There is no complete cleansing for you. Sure, you could probably clean up a little, but to be beautiful and spotless, it's not for you. Am I preaching to the right church?
Yes.
So here's some of the overcomer's thoughts. Here's what's the truth. You are already free in Christ Jesus. Galatians 5, it's for freedom that Christ set you free. You're free. Yeah, but I don't feel free. I didn't say you're going to feel free. I said you are free. Yeah, but you're just playing with semantic words. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, absolutely not. I'm dealing with the transformation of an entire life in a single sentence. Yeah, but I still commit sin. Well, because you're choosing to still commit sin. Don't blame God. Well, God's not strong enough to deliver me from this pit. No, he already has. Well, I'm still stuck in the pit. Well, then why don't you walk out of the pit? You don't understand. No, I really do. Really. Walk out of the pit. Pick up your mat and walk. No, I'm going to come over here to this definition. I'm a sinner. I'm in bondage. No, you're not. Come over here in this definition. You're free. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. But you don't understand, I'm caught in sin. Well, then walk out of it. God has empowered you. You've been a pastor your whole life. You don't understand. I am being renewed inwardly and daily. You're always going to be this way. You're stuck here. No. Inwardly, daily, renewal. New mercies every morning. Oh, no. You'll never get out of here. Tomorrow morning, brand new set of mercies. I just step out tomorrow. In fact, why not do it now? You're not really part of the church. I am part of the church, the family of God, those who have been bought by Jesus' blood. I am part of the church. My enemy has been completely disarmed and discredited. Every sin and shameful act and weakness in my life was removed from me and placed on Jesus. That's so helpful for me. The enemy goes, you're stuck here. This is you. This is a defining feature. I go, no. This defining feature of yours was put on Jesus. Punished entirely, destroyed completely, disarmed completely as a mechanism to accuse me. That's what the Bible means when he's completely stripped the enemy of all power. There's no power to accuse you, except if you give him the authority. If you believe that what the enemy says is true, then he has power to accuse you and to destroy your life. But if you go, that's simply not true, be quiet. Many years ago, in a previous church, there was a guy who had some issues. He wasn't all there. He was a little affected. And he would believe, he'd go out in the parking lot and he'd believe that whatever car he was standing in front of was his. So he'd come to your car, he'd go, what are you doing with my car? I'm going to drive it home. Yeah, that's my car. No, but, you know, no, it's not. This is my car. And I'm pretty sure I'm still paying for it. You know, I pay the insurance. No, that's my car. And that's what it feels like with the enemy. He goes, hey, you're this. You go like, no. Please read the dosage on whatever pills you're supposed to be having, because this is not working for you. The problem is, if that guy walks up and says, hey, this is my car, and you go, oh, maybe it is. And you hand him the key. And he drives off in your car. You go, oh, maybe I was mistaken. Do you see, it doesn't make any sense, right? In the natural, you go, no, this poor person needs help. Can we just help, be gentle with them and just... But the enemy comes, goes, hey, that's mine. You're not, we go, oh, okay, maybe he's right. It's not right. No angel or demon, death nor life, nor present or future events, nor power or high thing or low thing or anything else in the whole of creation can separate me from the love of Christ. Yeah, it ministers to me. All right, why don't you stand with me? Are you good? Yeah. But please say this like you're at war. I mean, let's say it like you believe it. Say it like you're ready to snap some rope around your leg and say, I'm done with that. I'm not going to be that person anymore. All right, here we go. I am already free in Christ. I am being renewed inwardly and daily. I am part of the church, the family of God, those who have been bought by Jesus' blood. My enemy has been completely disarmed and discredited. Every sin, shameful act, and weakness in my life was removed from me and placed on Jesus. No angel or demon, death nor life, present or future events, no power or high thing or low thing or anything else in the whole of creation can separate me from the love of Christ. Amen. Woo! Amen. Amen. Now, earlier today, I felt like the Lord spoke a very clear word. And I'm going to ask Michelle and Bridget if they would come up and just share that. And Colleen, is Colleen here? If you'd come and just share the words of that song the Lord put on your spirit. Because we had three words that are and you'll hear, they different ladies who've brought them. But they speak to a very distinct issue, and I'll pick it up after they've shared.
Last night when I went to sleep, the Lord gave me a picture, and he woke me up with exactly the same picture this morning. And he told me, I want you to share this with somebody. And I went to Greg and he said, no, I think this is for more than one person. And the picture was of a glass tube with blue, very distinct blue liquid in. And it spoke to the spirit of a person. That it was almost like a royal blue. And it spoke to purity and royalty and identity in Christ. But on the outside of this tube, their barnacles had developed. And for those of you that have been to the beach on the stones and the shallow water on the rocks, these barnacles come and they feeders, and they permanently there. They can't be removed. But I saw the Lord come and chisel these barnacles off. And there were marks on the tube where some had come off, but I felt like the Lord said he wanted all these barnacles off because they were hiding what the purity, what could be seen of the purity of this person's spirit. And I felt like the Lord was removing these hard things, and they were lies, and they were things that had come through, you know, in business meetings or in maybe in a church setting or even home relationships. But I felt that different things and things had been spoken over you that were just not from the Lord, and they had created paradigms and the way we see God and the way we relate to people and the way we believe or don't believe because of these situations and because of these words. But the Lord was done with that, and he was chiseling them off, and they were all falling off because the Lord wanted that purity of spirit to be seen with nothing hiding it.
Please? Yeah. Can we turn that mic up a little? Thanks.
In the beginning of the year, I had a picture of a big open book that was pure and white and ready to be written. And I felt that it was the Lord saying, this is a new book that he's starting for the church. And the last 2 weeks, I've just been feeling like there's some necessary endings. The phrase the Lord kept saying, there's some necessary endings that have to happen before that book can begin. And as I see the Lord's the face, he's just so excited to write in this new book. But there's some things that need to be dealt with. And the joy of it is that it can be something quick. It doesn't have to be a year of therapy or counseling. It can just happen today. And I came to Greg this morning and I said, I just feel like we dealt with some healing last week of the long lies, but I just felt this whole week I've been feeling like there's some things that need to end, whether it's a relationship or some phrases that have been put over you or some connections that you have or the wrong thinking. Those need to be ended.
A couple weeks ago, the Lord dropped this song in my spirit, and it's a song that, Jesus, like 25 years, 30 years ago, that I did this song, and I just wondered, Lord, why this song, the words of the song, and it came back to me again this morning, and I'm going to try and do a verse and a chorus, because I really feel that it is for someone here today. You laugh and let everyone think you're happy. You even lie and say that things are fine. You hide that empty longing that you feel. Oh, you never show it. You just keep your heart concealed. Yet why are your days so lonely? You're wondering where can the heart go free? And who will dry those tears that no one sees? There must be someone to hear my silent dreams. Caught like a leaf in the wind, you're looking for a friend. Where do you turn? Just whisper the words of a prayer, and you'll find he's there, arms open wide, love in his eyes. Jesus, he'll meet you where you are. Oh, Jesus, he'll heal your secret scars. All the love you're longing for, all the love you need, it's Jesus. He's a friend of a wounded heart. Oh, 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 friend of a wounded heart.
I wonder if the worship team would come up, please. I want to end the service in a somewhat a different way. And just a little moment, I'm going to pray a prayer, and if you need to go, then that's you're welcome to. But the worship team, I'm just going to stand up here and just worship a little bit, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to invade, take precedence, take up, preside. It's probably the best word. We invite the Holy Spirit to come and preside. And you say, what's going to happen? Well, this thing that the Lord is speaking to us about, there are some things that in some people's lives are like barnacles that sit on the outside of your heart. And the Lord said, I'm done with it. I really want to help you. I really want to wipe that off. And there's necessary endings. The Lord's here today to end things that should be ended. Really. Just let them go. And then the Holy Spirit spoke about being a friend of the wounded heart. And so I think that the next 5 or 10 minutes could possibly be life-altering minutes. Not because anybody appears doing anything, but because you choose to say, Holy Spirit, I'm opening up my heart to you. And I invite you to come and visit with me. And I promise you, he will. And I think that in the next 10 minutes, there are many lives that the Lord's going to radically just clean and alter and change. And so I invite you to do that. All right, so I'm going to close in prayer, and if you do need to go, I'm just going to ask you to be as respectful as you can, and leave quietly, and don't stand in the hallway here, because we, if you stand out there, everybody can hear everything you're saying. So I'm just if you'd understand, this is a moment here where God, the Spirit, and the Bride are going to come together, and the Holy Spirit's going to come and just do an incredible, intimate touch of some people. And some of the elders may just take some time to walk around and pray with people that we feel like the Lord is just saying, go and pray with them. So if you don't mind, and the elders will just be moving around and praying for you. But my suggestion is that you just zone out everything else and just open up your heart and say, Holy Spirit, come and do what you want to do in me. Come and preside in me and heal me and remove from me anything that needs to be removed and end anything you want ended. Is that good? So Lord, we do come together as a people. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to preside, not just in this meeting, but in our lives. Come and move among us, Lord, in power and in glory. In Jesus' name.